Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, and thank you for listening to Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. Schools are letting out, and days are getting hotter. It's summertime. Summer fun is centered around outdoor activities, but the good times can take a bad turn if we forget about protecting ourselves from sun exposure, sunburn, and skin cancer. Thankfully, all of these things can be easily avoided with just a little preparation and attention. This morning, I'm joined by Skin Cancer Foundation spokesperson, Dr. Fred Lupton, who's here to tell us how we can make the most of the summer and protect ourselves at the same time. Good morning, Dr. Lupton.
Good morning to you. I'm so glad to be here.
All of the information surrounding us about the damaging effects of the sun can cause us to want to put on a parka and hide in a cave, but that's not practical or very much fun. So what's the number one thing we should do before heading outside this summer?
Well, it's interesting that you use that metaphor about the cave, because that's something I often say to my patients. I don't really expect them to go live in a cave. I enjoy the outdoors, and there's just so many wonderful things to do outdoors, and I want my patients to be able to continue with life. But it just really takes common sense. We know that the sun is the most intense in the middle part of the day, so I encourage patients, if they're going to be out working in the yard, the garden, or playing outdoors, go out early and try to get their sunscreen on before they go out. And I think that if they just follow those rules, those simple rules, they'll do a lot better with their skin protection.
Now, all the numbers on sunscreen bottles can be very confusing. There's 30, 50, 150. What do those mean?
Well, the number refers to how much protection from the sun that they actually provide. So a lower number does not give you as much protection as a higher number. It used to be said that if you had a number 15, that meant that you had 15 times longer protection from the sun than if you had a 1. Well, over the years, they discovered those numbers weren't quite so accurate, and they've actually revised those numbers a little bit. But now, currently, they say if you use a number 30 or above and reapply it every hour or so, that should give you good protection from most sun exposure.
What about young children and babies?
Yeah, excellent point. Currently, there are not any sunscreens that are actually approved by the FDA for use in children under the age of 1. It's just that they haven't been tested, and nobody really wants to, you know, put a bunch of babies out in the sun and see how they do after
right.
an hour sun exposure. Okay, so but you can kind of use some common sense there. The baby's skin is going to be a lot more sensitive than an adult's skin. Children's skin are starting to they're starting to toughen up a little bit, so they can tolerate a little more sun. But again, the same rules apply. Go out early, go out late, avoid the midday sun, put the sunscreens on before you go outdoors. It's not after you get out to the pool or the beach that you start applying the sunscreen, because then it's just going to slide off with your sweat. But you try to put the sunscreen on before you leave the house in the cool skin and let it really soak in and penetrate. That's what we want adults to do, what's best for children as well.
What places on our bodies do people forget about, and how can we protect them?
That's very interesting. I see a lot of patients that come in, like ladies in the upper chest area. A lot of times they'll put a little sunscreen in the middle of the upper chest, but they don't really work it in under the bathing suit straps. So people are often sunburned around the bathing suit straps, even though they've applied the sunscreen in the middle of their chest. Same way on the back, is if there's a low scooped dress or bathing suit that exposes the skin back there, they sometimes don't quite get all those areas. People constantly forget to put sunscreen on the back, on the tops of their feet, and so a lot of people get too much exposure there. Those are the main areas.
Also, what about your scalp?
Well, that's a good point. And especially as a gentleman who's starting to not have as much coverage of hair on his scalp that he used to have, I know that a lot of my patients have the same issue, and even some of the ladies. So hats and sunscreen on the scalp are very important. I like to say one thing about sunscreen on the scalp, especially for guys. A lot of men, really, just it's hard for them to get used to using sunscreen. And I always tell them that, you know, you're going to find a sunscreen out there that is not flowery, doesn't smell like coconuts, and it's going to feel good on your skin. But especially in the scalp, these spray sunscreens that are available now that you can just kind of put on almost like a hairspray and just massage it into your scalp. That offers another way of giving people who have thin hair in their scalps some protection if they're just really not in a position to wear a hat. The hat's the best, of course, but these spray sunscreens are pretty cosmetically acceptable. You can certainly rub any kind of lotion or gel into your scalp as well, but the sprays, that's the one location of the body where I think the spray sunscreens are somewhat useful.
Now, I'm a person who tans just by looking at the sun. I get, the first time I go out, I already got a tan, but do I still need to wear sunscreen?
Absolutely. You know, the tanning response that we have is actually, people don't necessarily understand this, but it's actually a sign of a sun injury. So when you get a sun tan, everybody says, oh, I'm going to get a little base tan at the beginning of the year, and that's going to protect me later on. Even if you're darker, you're still getting sun damage. And the sun damage that we're really talking about is not just the burn that you might get after a Saturday at the pool, but we're talking about the sun damage that comes out years later. So even for darkly complected people or people who tan easily, the consequences of the ultraviolet radiation in the skin, the sunlight, that can still occur, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So, yes, people who are dark-skinned or people who tan easily, they still need to protect their skin from the sun. And, of course, it goes without saying that the fair-haired, red-haired, fair-skinned people, you know, they need to do that even doubly so.
So is tanning ever safe?
We have a saying, there is no such thing as a safe tan. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that you need to be deathly afraid of the outdoors, and we all are going to get a little suntan, even when we use some sunscreen and keep our clothes on throughout the summer. But in general, the idea of going out to get a tan just for a tan, say, no, there's no safe tan.
And what about the people who think that it's okay to use tanning beds?
They're kidding themselves. And the studies are really clear that tanning bed exposure dramatically increases your risk for melanoma. We know this. There's a strong link between melanoma and young women who visited tanning beds. As you may or may not know, melanoma is one of the most common forms of cancer in young adults, especially young women. And many of these young women have had a history of tanning bed exposure. So the energy of light that you get from a tanning bed is actually the exact wrong kind of energy that you want in terms of getting skin cancer. And that same wavelength of energy is also associated with premature aging and premature wrinkling. And so, the tanning bed is not really such a great idea. People will often say to me, well, I just go to the tanning bed a few times before I go to the beach because that way I'll be protected from a sunburn. Wrong. The kind of tan that you get from a tanning bed does not protect from a sunburn. We see that over and over again where people go, on vacation after they've gone to the tanning bed and they come in with sun damage issues. And so it's a different kind of tanning light in the tanning bed from the natural sunlight, and it's not that protective from sunburns from the sun.
Okay, now what should you do if you accidentally receive a sunburn?
Yeah, that's another good question, because it does happen to all of us sometimes. It happened to me. Well, the most important thing is, you can use cool compresses. Actually, some people think that taking an ibuprofen or even an aspirin will help reduce the reaction in the skin that leads to the sun damage, and certainly it can make you feel better. So cool showers, cool compresses. Sometimes we'll prescribe an anti-inflammatory cream, a cortisone-based cream that can help calm the reaction down quite a bit.
Now, as you mentioned, skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in the United States, but it's almost always treatable when detected early. What things should people be looking for?
Well, in terms of the different kinds of cancers, there's something called a basal cell skin cancer, another one called a squamous cell skin cancer, and melanoma skin cancers, which are the most deadly forms of skin cancers. And they all look a little bit different. But in general, the basal cell and squamous cell skin cancers, they're often a little pink or red. They might be scaly, or they maybe have just sort of a smooth, translucent bump on the skin, kind of a shiny bump on the skin. So it could be scaly or smooth and shiny. But it's a bump that wasn't there before. it's maybe kind of new, and maybe it's not going away. It's just, you think it's a sore that maybe started out as a bite or a scratch, and it just won't heal. It's, you know, and so a sore that doesn't heal, a lesion that's irregular in shape or color. Now, in terms of melanoma, there are the A, B, C, D, E's of melanoma. And if you just let me quickly run through them, that'll kind of give your listeners an idea of what to look for. So melanomas, there's A stands for asymmetric. That means if you draw a line through the middle of a lesion on your skin, and if it's a different shape on one side than the other, it's asymmetric. It's not a mirror image, so we know it's asymmetric. That's an indicator that maybe something's not quite right with that particular mole or lesion on the skin. Borders, B for borders. The borders are irregular. Maybe it's round on one side, but kind of zigzagged on the other side, so the borders are irregular. C for color. The colors can be different colors. There can be different colors from the rest of your moles. Maybe there's one mole that stands out from all the other moles because it's a different color. Or maybe within that one mole, there are multiple colors, maybe a black and then a brown. Or maybe there's some red in it. Maybe there's even white in it. And so color is another indicator. D stands for diameter. We think that moles that are greater than the size of a pencil eraser or greater than about 6 millimeters are a little more likely to have some abnormalities within that mole. And E is for elevation. Raised moles are often of danger. Some people use the E as evolving any mole that's a changing mole. So the A, B, C, D, E's, asymmetry, border irregularities, C for color irregularities, diameter bigger than a pencil eraser, and E for evolving or elevation. Those are some of the signs that we look for in terms of lesions that maybe aren't quite right.
But they don't always have to be a mole. As you mentioned, it could just be some place on your skin that seems to not heal, or...
Yeah, exactly right. You know, so we're not always looking at moles. Certainly the melanomas, they often kind of look like some form of mole, but not always. And the basal cell and squamous cells, they don't really look exactly like a mole, but there's just some sort of bump that won't heal. Maybe it's a little red or scaly or has a raised border to it.
Now, a lot of people talk about getting skin cancer spots removed, but can you die from skin cancer?
You know, skin cancer is probably one of the easiest to cure cancers of all the cancers if treated early. It can be very easily treated. If not caught early, if ignored, or if you have a certain type that just grows fast, that can also be very deadly. And so you can definitely easily cure skin cancers. We cure skin cancers every day in my office and every other dermatologist's office around there. They're all treating these skin cancers every day and treating them easily, usually. But the key thing is to catch them early and treat them early.
Dr. Lupton, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and hopefully we'll have a safe, fun summer.
Well, I really enjoyed being here, and I just want to encourage all your listeners to pay attention to their skin and protect it, and it will take care of them for a long time.
And for more information, please visit the Skin Cancer Foundation website at skincancer.org. And to hear more of this interview or other subjects covered on Triad Today, go to 987simon.com, click on the podcast tab, and go to 987 Simon On Demand. I'm Charlie. Thank you for listening to Triad Today on 987 Simon.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.